The New Testament book of Mark, chapter number 2. Mark chapter number 2, as we stand to our feet in honor of God's word. Mark chapter number 2, begin reading in verse number 1. So delighted that you're here today. Hope that you'll listen to what God has to say to us. We see a man here that's in need. And we see that God extends his mercy. The Lord Jesus extends his mercy to this man. The Bible says, and again, he, talking about the Lord Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. The Lord Jesus knew the importance of preaching the word, didn't he? And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they had so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all. Insomuch they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. I want you to notice what the Bible says in verse number 3, the very end. It says, Which was born of four. B-O-R-N-E. Born of four. I want to preach this morning on born of four, born again by one. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your precious mercy, grace, your love. I ask you to be with us this morning. I ask you to bless the reading of your word, and now the preaching of it. God, I know how weak I am in my flesh and in my abilities. I need the power of the Spirit of God to rest upon me, to preach through me the very words that need to be spoken. Hinder those things that would not be used of thee, and Lord, bring to mind the things that would be used of thee. Lord, may we all be hearers and doers of thy precious word. Hide me, Lord, behind the cross. May we see thee today. May we hear from thee today. And may we respond to thee today. And we'll give you the glory for all that's accomplished. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. The Lord Jesus has been out preaching, going from place to place throughout Galilee. We know that Capernaum is a place where some people say was his headquarters here on earth for quite some time, his ministry headquarters. And we find that he's made his way back to Capernaum. And the Bible teaches us that it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. And I want to tell you, when the Lord Jesus is in a place, it gets out, you know? And people begin to hear certain things about certain places. And Miss Jan was telling me about a meeting she was in just a couple of weeks ago and how people began to get saved, and they were having a service on a Sunday night, and some young people stood up and they confessed some things, and there was five got saved, and the preacher said, We're going to have a meeting tomorrow night. They came back to church on Monday night, and revival began to break out, and people were getting saved. People, I know, no doubt, were starting to come in because it was noise that he's in the house. If we're going to make a difference in our community, we need to let people know that the Lord Jesus is here and he meets with us. We're quiet people sometimes. We don't need to be quiet about what the Lord's doing. And we need to be out telling the world about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says it was noise that he was in the house. And the Bible says straightway there were many gathered together in Samusa. There was no room to receive. You know, wouldn't that be a blessing today that people would say there's something about East Lehigh Avenue Baptist Church. And all of a sudden people began to come in, and people would come to the doors and they couldn't get in. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it? That'd be thrilling. And the Bible teaches us that he preached the word unto them. Now, I wish I could preach like the Lord Jesus, but I can't. But I promise you, I'll always preach the Bible. I may not be the best at it, but I have nothing else to give to you other than God's precious word. And every time you come through the doors, if I'm standing behind this pulpit, I'm going to preach the Bible to you. And you can always be comfortable inviting people to come to this church because they're going to hear what the Bible has to say. He preached the word unto them. And I want you to see this morning, as he was preaching the word, there was a throng of people gathered about him, and the house was so full that people couldn't even come in. I can imagine that the front porch was packed with people, probably all around the house, and people were all around him. I can only imagine in my mind back then how that maybe the Lord was sitting or maybe he was standing, but as he was there were people probably touching him, and you know, because they were so close to him, and the throng was there. What an exciting time it must have been that the Lord Jesus was literally right there in their midst. Well, can I remind you of something today? The Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. So I want you to understand that he's in the house today. The Lord Jesus is here today, and he is meeting with us, and he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we understand that there was a man that was sick. He had the palsy, the Bible says. And the Bible says that he was born of four. And I want you to see this morning, as we look at this, born of four, born again by one, I want you to see this story. First of all, I want you to see there were some willing ones. Willing ones. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 3. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. Now there were four. Each man had a responsibility in getting this man to the Lord Jesus. Each one of them were probably carrying a corner of whatever it was that he was laying on, but each one of them had to be willing to do whatever it took to get him to the Lord. I have a question for us today. Are we willing to do what it takes to get people to Jesus? Are we willing to put forth the effort and to do our part? Not one of them had to carry the load alone. They all had to work together to get the job done. And every one of us need to be working together to get people to Christ. We have to be willing to do what it takes. Now you can imagine that this was not something convenient for these four to do. And there was also the one that had to be willing to be carried to the Lord, you know? He had to have a desire to go to the Lord. I'm sure they didn't carry him against his will, but he had been sick for so long, and he was tired of being sick, and he was looking for some hope. He was looking for somebody to do something. So he had to be willing. He had to put pride aside. A lot of people let pride send them to hell. They don't want to know the truth or hear the truth, you know, or they're too proud to admit they have a need. But here's a man who said, I have a need. I need something in my life. And these four men were willing to do everything they could. And he had to have faith that when he got to the Lord Jesus, that Jesus could do something for him. You know, you can understand that. If you didn't think that anything would happen, you'd probably say, oh, I've tried all these things. You know, the lady that had that issue of blood for those 12 years, she said, I've wasted all my money. I've done everything I could possibly do. She said, but if I could just touch the hem of his garment. She knew there was one answer, and that answer was the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's people in our lives. You've tried to do everything. You've tried to help them in every way. Many of them tried to straighten their lives out. They tried to turn over a new leaf. They tried to do this. They tried to do that. And sometimes they just let pride get in the way. But there's only one answer for them. And that one answer is the Lord Jesus. But we have to be willing to do what it takes. We have to be one of those willing ones. Willing to take a Monday night. And to go out and to knock on doors. Willing to carry gospel tracts and to speak to people about the Lord Jesus. Willing to put our pride aside and our fear of being rejected. You know, we're not afraid of them rejecting the Lord when we talk to people about the Lord. We're afraid of them rejecting us. Because none of us like to be rejected. We don't like to be told no. We don't like people to say, I don't want to hear it. And we say, well, they're just turning the Lord away. No, we're afraid they're going to turn us away. If we love the Lord, we'll just keep telling people about the Lord. And we'll put our pride aside. But this man had to put his pride aside because he knew that something needed to be done in his life. He knew that the answer was not in this world. And they said, I imagine they came and said, Jesus is in the house. And if we can get you to him, he can do something for you. He said, let's go. He was willing. These four were willing. Probably a small man carrying them on a cot. And each one of them picked up their corner and they were walking and say, get close to the house. What happens? Can't get in. Well, let's just go back home. It's raining tonight. Let's just not, we don't have to go tonight. Sorry. I had a rough day at work today. It's a little bit more effort to go out and tell somebody about the Lord. Let's just decide to stay home. But these guys weren't that way. When they walked up to the house and the house was full and the porch was full and the yard was full, these guys were willing to do what it took. We see the willing ones. I want you to see next the working ones. They're the same. But notice what the Bible says in verse number 4. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. They were so willing to get him to Jesus that they were willing to do whatever work it took to get the job done. You see here what happened. Do we understand? This took some effort, doesn't it? Didn't it? Did it not take effort? They had to climb up on the roof, break the roof apart, let it down. It took effort. Witnessing to people and trying to get people to Jesus is not always easy. I wish it was. I wish every time you handed the gospel tract to somebody, they'd say, oh, I've been waiting on this. I have not had that happen to me very many times in my life. I have been blessed to knock on one or two doors in my lifetime where somebody says, I've been praying that somebody would come by and talk to me about the Lord. But understand, that's few and far between. It takes effort. It takes sometimes getting your hand dirty. You have to realize it's not always going to be easy. And I can imagine this, that it took all four to get the job done. We can't do this alone. One person can't do what needs to be done in this church to get the Word of God out. Two, three. We all need to be a part of this. If you claim this church is your church and you claim this Bible is your Bible and you say, I believe what the Word of God has to say, then you have to be willing to do your part in spreading the gospel and telling people about the Lord Jesus. It takes effort. It's not always easy. It took all four to get the job done. You realize they had to hoist him up on top of the house. I don't know how they did it, but they made sure it happened. And sometimes we have to understand, we don't know how the work's going to get done, but we have to do our part. I have to carry my corner. You have to carry your corner. You have to be willing to put forth the effort that it takes to get the job done. We have to be willing to work together. If one was pulling and the other one was pulling the other way, then they're not going to get a lot done, are they? They may have been. Maybe there was a couple of them up on the roof. They were pulling. There were two down here and they were pushing, but they were all going in the same direction. Here's the key to our church. We need to be going in the same direction. We need to be pointing people to Calvary. I love this church and I invite people to this church all the time, but this church can't save anybody. Only Christ can save. And we need to be busy pointing people to Calvary, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to tell people that our hope is not in East Slavin New Baptist Church, but our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ who died on the cross for our sins. We have to be in this. We have to be working together. We have to be willing to do whatever it takes to get the job done. We have to be one of those working ones. Notice they went the extra mile. It is so easy to get discouraged witnessing to people. I know it. You know it. If you've tried to talk to people about the Lord, you know it is so easy to be discouraged. It's so easy to say, is it really worth it? You go out and you spend an hour and a half, and somebody comes to the door and you say, I'm from East Lyman. Pew! Door slams in your face. Well, you know, you leave a track on the door, realizing that thing's going to be destroyed, but you never know. The Word of God doesn't return void, and they might look at a word or two of it. You go to the next door. Open the door, and they say words you wish you'd never heard before in your life. You know? You go to the next door, and you hear the TV blast, and you hear people talking, but nobody ever comes to the door. And then you get to go to the door. And they open the door, and you begin to talk to them. They say, no, speak English. And they shut the door. And you hear them holler, that was the people from the church. You get discouraged sometimes. But the goal is not how many people we save. The goal is getting the gospel to as many people as we possibly can. And pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's work. It's work. It's not going to be easy. But when one soul comes to Jesus, it's worth every time you've been rejected. It's worth every heartache to find that one soul that at least is open to the gospel. At least receives the tract and says, I promise you I'll read this. Only heaven will tell how many people's been saved by the gospel tracts you've handed out, by the people you've witnessed to. When we get there, we'll know more about it. But until then, we have to be willing. And we have to be working. Well, we've seen these people in this story. We've seen these willing ones, how that there were four that had this responsibility, that took the responsibility and were willing to take the responsibility. We see the one that was willing to be carried to the Lord Jesus and willing to be taken on his bed. And then we see he had to be willing to be hoisted up. You know, that probably was a scary thing. We see them working. You have to be willing, and then you have to be working. You know, the Bible teaches us that we're to labor for the Lord. And that if we'll be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, we'll know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. And our labor in the Lord is never in vain when we work for Him. So we've seen the willing ones, we've seen the working ones, but now I want you to see this wonderful one. Notice what the Bible says in these next few verses. The Bible says in verse number 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. And there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your heart? I want you to take notice here of this wonderful one. I want you to see his perception. He knew that when he said what he said to this man that was sick of the palsy, he knew these scribes, these Pharisees, were going to have something to say. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 2 and verse 25, talking about the Lord Jesus, the Bible says in verse 24, but Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men, and he needed not that any should testify a man, for he knew what was in man. You know, the Lord Jesus, he is the wonderful one, and he knew that there was going to be people there that was going to doubt what he did. Now, they've come to hear him. They've gathered around him, and as long as he just says some wonderful things about the Word, that's fine. But when he does something supernatural, like, say, I want your sins to be forgiven, then they refuse to trust that he is who he says he is. And when we tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ, we're out telling people about the wonderful one. We're willing to go. We're working at it. There's going to be people that's going to make fun of us. There's going to be people that's going to doubt us. And there's going to be people who say, well, I wonder how many really got saved. I wonder if it was really real. Look, the results are not up to us. The results are up to the Lord. But you can be rest assured that if you get somebody to Jesus, He can make a difference in their life. He can do something that you or I cannot do. He's the wonderful one. His perception here, when we look at this, the Bible says, immediately Jesus, when Jesus perceived in His spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, He said unto them, why reason you these things in your hearts? He knew what they were thinking and He knew what was in their hearts. He understood this. And the Lord Jesus understands everything. He knows what's in our hearts when we're going out telling people about the Lord. See, I don't think that we're to tell people out of the Lord out of duty. I think we're to do it out of desire. Because we love Jesus so much, we want to tell others about Him. Because we know that if we can do the work that needs to be done and get somebody to Jesus, that He can do something with their lives. Something that you can't do. Something that I can't do. Something that nobody else can do. But Jesus can do it. He can take an old worthless, wretched, vile, wicked sinner and He can wash their sins as white as snow and give them a home in heaven and forgive all of their sins. I can't forgive sins, but Christ can. I can't take people to heaven, but Christ can. I have to be willing to do what it takes to get people to Him. That's why He left us here. That's our job. That's our responsibility. And because we love the Lord, we ought to have the desire to obey the Lord. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may be under the sound of my voice and you may have been in church. Look, I was in church for years before I trusted Christ. You may be here today and you may have been in church. Maybe this is the first time you've been to church in a long time. Maybe the first time ever. But I want you to hear me. The Bible tells us that God robed Himself in flesh, took upon Himself the form of a servant and came into this world. He was the God-man. He became man, but He never ceased to be God. But He came to take our place and to die for our sins on the cross. The Bible teaches us that the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed to a cross, not because He was guilty, but because we were guilty, and Jesus paid for our sins. He shed His blood for our sins. And the Bible teaches us that they took Him down off the cross and they placed Him in a borrowed tomb. And then the Bible says 3 days later, Jesus rose from the grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave. And the Bible says that if you're willing to put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary, He'll forgive your sins and He'll promise you a home in heaven. You have to understand that you're a sinner and be willing to ask God to forgive your sins. Truly mean it and truly believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And you have to be willing to receive His payment. I can't work my way to heaven. I can't do enough good things to get myself to heaven. But Jesus has already done everything that needed to be done. He is the wonderful one. And He is very perceptive. He knows what's in your heart today. He knows if you've truly trusted Him or not. He knows if you've made a profession but there's no truth to it. He knows if you know Christ as Savior. We see His perception. The second thing we see is we see His power. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 9. Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. What power? They brought Him to Jesus. Here's a man that's sick of the palsy. He does the greatest thing that could ever be done. If this man died with the palsy, if his sins were forgiven him, that was the greatest thing that could ever be done. But in the midst of it all, there were some religious hypocrites that were there, and they said, who are you to forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins. But this was God, robed in the flesh. And He said, well, what's easier for me to say? Is it easier for me to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to rise, take up thy bed and walk? But to show you that I have the power to forgive sins, He turned around to the man that was sick of the palsy. He said, get up, rise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. I want you to understand today, when we get somebody to Jesus, he has the power to do something with their lives. He has the power to take an old wretched piece of clay and wash their sins and make them clean and pure and give them a home up in heaven. He has the power to take somebody that is sick in sin and make them well all over. What a Savior we have. He is the wonderful one today. But if we don't get people to Jesus, they may never have that opportunity. We see his perception. We see his power. And then thirdly, this wonderful one, I want you to see his preeminence. And the Bible says in verse number 12, and immediately, this man sick of the palsy, he arose, took up the bed, and went before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Modern day terminology said, I ain't never seen anything like that before. I've never seen it like this. That's because when Jesus does something, he does it well. They've seen a lot of things. They've been around a lot of religious ceremonies. They've viewed a lot of happenings. But boy, when they saw this, they said, I've never seen it like this before. And I'm reminded of men and women and boys and girls who were living in sin and on their way to hell. Some of them wicked. As wicked as you could possibly imagine. But the amazing grace of God took them as they were and saved them and changed them and made them a new creature in Christ. Some very religious. And I grew up in church, well, later years. Started going to church when I was about 10 years old, faithfully. Mom and dad's members of church. And we'd go some. When mom had to keep nursery, go church. You know, that's the way it is in every church. There's those that, the only time you ever see the lady there is when she has to keep nursery. Anyway. About when I was 10 or 11, my dad got his heart right with God. And when the dad gets his heart right with God, it changes the family in a greater way than when the mom gets her heart right with God. You hear that, men? When a man's living right, it'll do more for the family than you could ever imagine. My dad got his heart right with the Lord, and boy, we started going to church. That was those times when, you know, I was used to not going to church on Sunday mornings. I used to stand up watching wrestling on Saturday night on Channel 13. It'd go off at 1:30 in the morning, you know. It wasn't wrestling, it was wrestling. And I loved it. It come on, I loved it so much. It was on, we had a TV, and we didn't have cable TV back then. I'm old. We didn't have cable TV back then. And this was an Asheville, North Carolina channel, so it was across the mountain. And I'd have to sit there and play with those antenna, those rabbit ear antennas, just to get in picture what I wanted to watch. And I wanted to watch wrestling. And I would sit there like this, watching wrestling, for an hour and a half. You know, Ric Flair, the Nature Boy, whoo, you know. I mean, I'm talking, if y'all don't know who that is, he still wrestles. He was old then. But anyway, I'd do that. And so Dad got his heart right with God, but I still, Saturday night, you know, and I had a little black and white TV in my room. So if I was in bed, I really wasn't in bed. I was in there. You know, and you listen. You wouldn't turn it up enough to where they could hear it. So when they come by your room, they wouldn't know you was watching TV. Don't listen to me. And so I'd be sitting in there. And then Sunday morning would come, and that's when I would always say, oh, I'm sick. You know, and that's when my dad would say, throw up and prove it. You know, and I mean, I don't know how many times I heard that. He said, you're going to church. Because he had his heart right with God, and he knew that that's what the right thing to do was. Amen. He took us to church. When I started going to church, and I mean, I got involved. When I was about 13, started singing in the choir. Couldn't sing, but I sang. We had like 6 or 7 preachers in that church, and they were loudmouth preachers, you know? I mean, you know how preachers are, we loud. And they sang loud, but they sang pretty good. And so I'd sing right in the middle of them because I thought, boy, I sound a whole lot better when I'm singing with them. And I sang in the choir. I went out on bus visitation on Saturday mornings, but I was lost. But somebody gave me the truth one night. And I heard the truth over and over again, but this night, God got a hold of me. I wasn't wicked. I wasn't ungodly. I wasn't a drinker, a smoker, a chewer, or any of them things. Yeah, I wasn't somebody I was not unkind to people, but I was lost. But I was on my way to the same hell as those people that were wicked and ungodly, that cursed and drank and chewed. And as a I was going to the same hell as a murderer. But he took me as I was, and he saved me. It's an amazing thing when you get people to Jesus. And I've seen people saved. And I don't know how many times I've said, I've never seen it like that before. Because every time somebody gets saved, it's fresh. And it's new. And it's precious. And it takes me back to that night in August 1985. When I bowed my unworthy knees in that sawdust, on that sawdust floor. And I asked God to forgive my sins. To cleanse me, to come into my life, to be my Savior. And he said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. I said, I ain't never seen it like this before. I've never felt like this before. I've never understood what I understood now. That's because he is the preeminent one. And when you come into a relationship with him, all things begin to change. If you're here today without Christ as Savior, the Bible says at the end of this life, there's a heaven and there's a hell. And if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you're headed to that place called hell. And it's a horrible, terrible place. But Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And if you're willing to come to Him, to humble yourself, to come to God just as you are, not to come to turn over a new leaf, but to surrender the fact that you're a sinner and to accept the fact that He's the Savior and that He'll forgive your sins. And He'll save your soul. And He'll promise you a home in heaven. Today, you can go out of here and you say, I've never had anything like this happen to me before. Because He is the preeminent one. And only Christ can do for you what needs to be done. Amen. This man was born a four, carried by four. But these four didn't save him. They just got him to the one that could. And when they got him to Jesus, he changed that man's life. He was born again by one. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your love, for your grace and mercy. Lord, I pray that you've spoken to every heart, every life in this place today. Lord, I pray that we'll be obedient to thee. I pray, Lord, for those of us that know Christ as our Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving us. But Lord, help us to be willing and working to bring people to the wonderful one. Help us, Lord, to be willing to put forth the effort, to go the extra mile, get our hands dirty. Lord, be willing to take the rejection that may come our way in order that we can find one that may receive thy precious word. And I pray for those, Lord, that are here today that have never trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, they've heard the message. They've heard of your wonderful love, of your power and ability to change their life, to forgive their sin, to promise them a home in heaven. And I pray that this day would be the day where they're willing to confess that they're sinners and to call upon you to forgive their sins. To be their Savior. Lord, may we respond by being completely obedient to the Holy Spirit this time of invitation. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed as the piano begins to play this morning. Brother Paul will be singing a hymn of invitation.